Chapter 3. Salah ad-Din is suspicious. Early next morning, Salah ad-Din was at the doors of the Egyptian embassy in London. It was not long before he had sent off a telex to the Ministry of the Interior in Cairo and another telex to his assistant, Leila Osman. The first telex was to his friend, Chief Inspector Ahmed Abbas. Salah ad-Din had worked with Inspector Ahmed before. The telex said, "Attention, Inspector Ahmed Abbas, Ministry of Interior, Cairo. Dr. John Farrow and wife reported arriving in Cairo last Thursday. Please confirm arrival and inform me name of their hotel. Salah ad-Din El Nour, Egyptian Embassy, London." The second telex to Leila Osman said, "Attention, Inspector Leila Osman, Antiquities Protection Department, Cairo. Dr. John Farrow, archaeologist, reported arriving in Cairo last Thursday. Please inform me of his plans and movements. Salah ad-Din El Nour, Egyptian Embassy, London." Then Salah ad-Din went to the visa section of the embassy and looked at the visa applications. He soon found Farrow's application. Salah ad-Din noticed a number of unusual things about the application. "Now this is interesting," thought Salah ad-Din. "He has left out his doctorate and he says he's a schoolteacher. Very strange. And why does he say he's going to Egypt as a tourist?" Salah ad-Din realized that Leila would know nothing about Dr. Farrow. Farrow had not written on his visa application that he was an archaeologist. His arrival in Cairo would not be reported to Salah ad-Din's office. The replies to his telex messages came in shortly after each other. Leila's telex confirmed what Salah ad-Din had already guessed. "Good," thought Salah ad-Din. "She has got in touch immediately with Inspector Ahmed." "Attention, Salah ad-Din El Nour, Egyptian Embassy, London. No one called Dr. John Farrow has reported to this office. Nothing known of his movements or plans. Have reported matter to Inspector Ahmed. Leila Osman." The telex from Inspector Ahmed confirmed Salah ad-Din's suspicions. "Attention, Salah ad-Din El Nour, Egyptian Embassy, London. Confirm arrival of Mr. John Farrow and his wife as tourists in Egypt. Farrow's occupation given on immigration form as schoolteacher. Farrow and wife stayed one night, Thursday 4th August, Hotel Mirabel. Left Friday morning. No knowledge of where they are now. Trying to find them. Please explain your interest in Farrow. Ahmed Abbas." It was 2 o'clock when Salah ad-Din received the telex messages. It was too late to get a plane for Cairo that day. Also, Salah ad-Din had some things to do in London. He wanted to find out as much as he could about Dr. John Farrow from Peter Earle. And he wanted to know if Interpol, the international police, had anything about the man on their files. First, Salah ad-Din booked a flight to Cairo for the following day. Then he sent off 2 further telex messages. "Attention, Inspector Leila Osman, Antiquities Protection Department, Cairo. Returning Cairo immediately. Urgent you meet me at Cairo Airport tomorrow, Tuesday 9th. Flight MEA-435 from London, arriving Cairo 2045. Salah ad-Din El Nour." "Attention, Inspector Ahmed Abbas, Ministry of Interior, Cairo. Arriving Cairo tomorrow, Tuesday 9th, flight MEA-435 from London, arriving Cairo 2045. Urgent you meet me. Urgent Repeat, urgent, you find Pharaoh and wife. We'll explain when we meet. Salah ad-Din el-Nur. Salah ad-Din thanked the officials in the embassy and hurried out to get a taxi to the British Museum. As he sat in the taxi, Salah ad-Din asked himself over and over again, why had Pharaoh tried to deceive the Egyptian officials by saying that he was a teacher and not an archaeologist? And why had he said that he was in Egypt as a tourist? Pharaoh had written all these things in his visa application 4 weeks ago, but then he had told someone that he was going to Egypt to find the tomb of Queen Axtate. He had told someone about this because it had been reported in the Sunday Times. Peter Earle had also been busy that morning. He had phoned up everyone who knew Dr. Pharaoh. Everybody said that Pharaoh had left Cambridge and gone to live with some friends in Wales, but nobody seemed to know anything more. Someone had heard that Pharaoh was using drugs. Another had heard that Pharaoh had been in trouble with the police, but no one knew anything for certain. Finally, Peter Earle phoned up the Sunday Times and spoke to the reporter who had written about Pharaoh going to Cairo. When Salah ad-Din arrived at the British Museum, Peter told him about the calls he had made to Pharaoh's friends. "I'm interested in the remark about drugs," said Salah ad-Din. "The people who sell drugs in England often smuggle them from the Middle East, and the people who smuggle drugs sometimes smuggle antiquities. Perhaps Pharaoh is involved with a gang of smugglers." "You'd better ask Scotland Yard and Interpol," suggested Peter Earle. "They may know something more about Pharaoh." "That's what I'm going to do now," said Salah ad-Din. "But first, a question which you can answer. Do you believe that Pharaoh has discovered the burial place of Queen Axtarte?" "Pharaoh was a brilliant student at Cambridge. He claims that he has discovered the Queen's burial place. It is possible that he is telling the truth." "And other people might agree with you," said Salah ad-Din. "If Pharaoh is involved with a gang of smugglers, he might have told them how to find Queen Axtarte's tomb. I'm sure they would be interested in the treasure." "But why did Pharaoh phone up the Sunday Times?" Peter Earle asked.
"So that's how the report got in the newspaper," said Salah ad-Din.
"Yes. Pharaoh phoned up the paper and told them about his visit to Cairo. If Pharaoh is working with a gang, why would he do that?"
"Perhaps he is calling for help," replied Salah ad-Din. "The smugglers may be making Pharaoh work with them. Perhaps Pharaoh doesn't want to help them to find the tomb."
Salah ad-Din promised to write to Peter and let him know what had happened. Then the two men said goodbye, and Salah ad-Din went to Scotland Yard. Salah ad-Din had arranged to meet Chief Inspector Beeston of Scotland Yard. The Chief Inspector showed Salah ad-Din a file with a short report on Dr. John Pharaoh. Pharaoh had been fined 2 years earlier for having a small quantity of cannabis. "But he never told us where he got the cannabis," Chief Inspector Beeston told Salah ad-Din. "If he had told us where he got the drugs, he would not have been fined."
"What about Interpol?" asked Salah ad-Din. "Do they know anything about Pharaoh?"
"Nothing at all," replied Chief Inspector Beeston. "As far as we know, this visit to Egypt is the first time he has ever left England."
"It's strange that no one knows very much about Dr. Pharaoh," said Salah ad-Din.
It was late when Salah ad-Din got to bed, but he read a little of Pharaoh's book before he fell asleep, and the next day on the plane he went on reading the book with interest.
I must go and see Professor Gumuchian early tomorrow morning, he thought to himself, as the plane took him across the Mediterranean towards Egypt.